Welcome, witches, to episode 33 of Witch Talk. I'm your host, Bree, a Scorpio Sun, Taurus Moon, Pisces Rising, and this is a bonus episode. Yes, as you read in the title of this episode, today I will be giving some insight into the astrology of the U.S. presidential election. This year's U.S. presidential election is going to be big. It's a big moment in history, not just politically, but astrologically, culturally, everything. It is very important. And what stands out the most to me is the generational shift in the sky. You know, astrologically, as we approach 2025, a year in which the outer planets, which are the planets that govern slow evolutionary change, move into new signs. So it's almost as if the cosmos itself is preparing for a major overhaul. For those of us who study the stars and astrology, I'm sure you know all about this, and I've been hinting at the fact that 2024 to 2027 is going to truly be some crazy times in our world, and those crazy times coincide with these planets that are more worldly and generational and not as personal as like the sun or moon, finally changing signs and speed and energy. And this moment, this election, feels like the opening act of a transformative, era-defining soap opera drama. And also, I just want to make it clear that this episode will be coming from a neutral POV. As most of you probably know, I am very progressive, and not only a woman, but I'm a Black woman, I'm a queer woman, and I'm always going to care about politics because it affects people like me a lot. And the stakes of this election, in terms of my rights and my freedom when it comes to my body, etc., 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 feel deeply personal. And you know, as an astrologer, you want to be unbiased and always be neutral, but I find that the astrologers who have been talking about this election and saying, I'm 110% neutral, blah, 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 are the astrologers who kind of are not as directly affected by it. From what I've seen, they are astrologers who have a lot of privilege, and that's great for them, I guess, to be 100% unbiased and objective. But I think for me, it's important for me to let you all know that although I am always going to be speaking about astrology in a neutral way because it's my job to, and because astrology doesn't choose sides, it just reveals patterns, and those patterns are what we'll explore today, there's still a person behind here, a person who is very much affected by politics and what's happening in this world. So with that being said, if you're not already registered to vote, there's a link in my bio. It's actually the first link on all of my platforms. You can find it at the top of the episode notes of this episode and the last one and the one before that. But voting is so important no matter what side you're on. I personally think it's embarrassing if you're not voting. I mean, it takes like at tops an hour out of your day. You can even vote early to really secure in your vote. But as I was getting into earlier, what makes this election particularly interesting is the timing. The outer planets are on the brink of shifting signs, meaning the end of one generational cycle and the start of another. Uranus will leave Taurus for Gemini in 2025, Neptune will enter Aries in 2025, and Pluto will fully commit to its new position in Aquarius. These changes are more than just a transfer of political power, right? They are going to be this major radical shift in how society is organized, how we communicate, and how we envision the future. And there are patterns. If one thing astrology can show you, it's how history always repeats itself. And I'm 100% going to be getting into that today. So as we approach November 2024, the transits leading up to the election itself show clues about the nature of what's going on. Pluto's final pass through Capricorn, for example, is a major key in this. At the same time, Uranus and Taurus continues to retrograde and upend stability in the economy and agriculture and personal security. So these two alone combined set the stage for an election that could mark the end of an era, not just for the US, but for the world at large. And by the end of this episode, honestly, within the first 10 minutes of this episode, I think you guys will clearly understand that the patterns we see unfolding now directly reflect past moments in the US of revolution and radical change. In many ways, this election is a crossroads, and the astrological energies at play show that whatever direction the US takes, it will not be subtle at all. It's going to be big. And with that in mind, let's dive deeper into two of the key planetary players right now, Pluto and Uranus, and explore how their movements might shape the election and its aftermath. So I've talked about this a lot, Pluto. Pluto, this planet of death and rebirth, has been moving through Capricorn since 2008. This transit has coincided with the erosion of traditional structures of power and authority and governance. Capricorn is the sign that rules institutions, so governments and corporations. And with Pluto's presence here, we've seen the slow unraveling of these very once solid foundations. And the 2024 election represents Pluto's final bow in Capricorn before it moves into Aquarius, where it will introduce a radically different way of wielding and conceptualizing power. Pluto will be in Capricorn from September 1st to November 19th. Now, we're going to be getting into a lot of history in this episode because, like I said, astrology always shows how history always repeats itself. And historically, Pluto's transits have shown huge changes in how societies are structured. The last time Pluto was in Aquarius was the American and French revolutions, revolutions that redefined political power, revolutions that shook the very foundations of monarchy and centralized control. So the question for us now is, what kind of revolution will this Pluto transit bring? With Pluto in Aquarius, a sign associated with innovation and progress and the collective good and humanity, we might see power shift away from these like few people in power, so think like one president and people like that, to a more decentralized system where there are group leaders or co-presidents and whatnot. This is a 2-decade-long transit. So by 2044, I would not be surprised if the idea of a POTUS is completely gone. Whether this comes through technology, social movements, or shifts in governance, it's clear to astrologers that Pluto in Aquarius will bring new ways of thinking about authority. So yes, Pluto's ingress into Aquarius coincides with the US grappling with questions of leadership and power. You know, who leads and how do they lead? The old ways, top-down, hierarchical, exclusive, just might not work anymore. I mean, does it even work now? The answer is no. And as the election approaches, we could see a growing dissatisfaction with traditional leadership models, with voters craving something radically different. And Aquarius doesn't just innovate and change for the sake of novelty. It innovates for the future, for the people. And Pluto's move into the sign tells me that the US is on the cusp of a really important reimagining of its leadership structure, potentially opening the door to new political figures or movements that challenge what we know now. Uranus, meanwhile, adds its own flavor of unpredictability to the mix. We're going to talk all about Uranus this episode. Uranus has been in Taurus since 2018, shaking up issues related to stability and money and personal security. Taurus is a fixed Earth sign, a sign that is resistant to change. But Uranus doesn't respect those boundaries. Not at all. Uranus doesn't give an F about a boundary. And its transit through Taurus has already seen economic chaos, with global financial systems and the nature of wealth itself coming under a lot of scrutiny. So the election occurring under this Uranian influence may bring unexpected developments, especially in areas related to economic policies. In 2025, Uranus will enter Gemini, a mutable air sign that thrives on communication and information and duality. And this shift will be big for the US. Very big, actually, because it will be the beginning of America's Uranus return, a rare and tumultuous event. It happens like every 85 years. You've all heard of a Saturn return, but I bet you didn't know about a Uranus return. All the planets return. And the last Uranus return that the US had occurred during World War II, the one before that during the Civil War, and the one before that was the Revolutionary War. So when I and many other astrologers say that some kind of war is brewing, or that the United States will be involved in a war in the coming years, we are 100% basing this off of a pattern we're seeing. And it's not to scare people, it's just that Uranus returns coincide with moments of conflict and division and dramatic social change. With Uranus moving into Gemini, we can expect lots of tension and issues around communication and media and technology, all of which will play a crucial role in the election and its aftermath. And if I had to bet, I would say that this war that is coming might even be very digital. Gemini's influence on Uranus could mean that misinformation, media manipulation, and the rapid spread of ideas, both true and false, will be major themes. The 2024 election is probably one of the most media-driven elections in history, with Uranian disruptions complicating the flow of information. And the duality of Gemini as well also points to deepening divisions in public opinion. And so right now, our nation is more polarized than ever, right? That's clear, with two starkly different visions of the future vying for dominance. Uranus in Gemini is going to further fuel these divides, making it difficult for the country to find common ground. So as Uranus transitions into Gemini and Pluto fully commits to Aquarius, the US will 100% experience a huge shift in its global role. The Uranus return is a time of internal conflict or war, as history has shown, and with Gemini's emphasis on communication, I think this could manifest as a battle of narratives, where digital information warfare becomes a key battleground. We're already seeing the early stages of this with cyber attacks, election interference, and media manipulation, and it's probably going to escalate as Uranus moves into Gemini. On a more mundane level, Uranus and Gemini may also bring unexpected technological breakthroughs, particularly in the realm of communication. So just as the last Uranus return in the 1940s during World War II coincided with the rise of television, right, and radio as political tools, we might see new technologies emerge that will reshape how candidates campaign, how voters engage with politics, how information is spread. And as always with Uranus, these changes will come quickly and they will come unexpectedly and they will force us to adapt to new realities in real time. And I say all of that to say that the combined influence of Pluto and Uranus during this election cycle and after the election points to a time of intense disruption. Both planets are these forces of radical change, and their movements mean that the structures of leadership and communication in the US will be completely altered. I think this election may be remembered not only for the candidates who run, but for the deeper, more fundamental shifts it triggers in how the country is governed and how power is distributed. And I'm using the word country because I'm talking about the US election, but this is 100% global and worldly as well. And we can't talk about the outer planets without also mentioning Saturn and Neptune. These move pretty close together, and so I'm less concerned about their individual impact and more about their impact together. And what I mean by that is the conjunction they have together, which goes exact in 2026. But once again, they're always very close to each other, and they're right next to each other right now in Pisces and then again in Aries with that conjunction. All I'll say is that this conjunction, exact in 2026, has already started to form. And traditionally, Saturn-Neptune alignments are linked to political and leadership scandals or chaos. When these planets align, as they will leading into the next election cycle, you can expect lots of skepticism around our leaders and our institutions and our government and the truth itself, just leading to widespread uncertainty about where the country is headed. And we've seen this pattern play out many times before. The most recently prominent one is the Saturn-Neptune square of 2016, which occurred during the US presidential election, of course. The election was full of claims of fake news, largely propelled by the influence of social media, which really blurred the lines between reality and illusion. What's real, what's fake, you know? My personal favorite was during the Watergate scandal under a Saturn-Neptune opposition, where the lines between legal authority and criminal activity became extremely blurred, as we know. Nixon's administration was drawing in scandal, and no one knew who actually did the crime, who was actually involved, and what did they actually do, just leading to a widespread breakdown of public trust. And again, we see Saturn's focus on governance and responsibility clashing with Neptune's influence of deception and chaos. And as we approach this election and moving after the election, these past examples provide a framework for understanding the current political climate that we're about to step into. With Saturn and Neptune coming together, we should prepare for a period that mirrors things like that. Not exactly, maybe, but public distrust because a president is doing something effed up. Yeah, I can 100% see that happening. Now, moving on to something that I think is really important to talk about in terms of this election and the many turns it took this summer is the Mars-Uranus conjunction that happened. It literally was crazy, and I talked about this on the pod when it happened because I knew it would be crazy, and one of the most significant events during that time was the attempted assassination of Donald Trump on July 13th. The astrology behind this event was insane, with the Mars-Uranus conjunction at 26 degrees of Taurus forming directly on Trump's midheaven at 24 degrees of Taurus, squaring his natal Mars and Leo at 26 degrees. And to put in simpler terms, this combination of Mars, which is this planet that symbolizes violence and aggression, and Uranus, representing sudden, unexpected events, created the perfect energy for chaos. What happened on this day, what transpired on that day, was the literal manifestation of this energy. Uranus, the planet that governs disruption and rebellion, has long been associated with assassinations. And even Trump, bloody and raising his fist in the air, and I think he said fight or something like that, encapsulated the Mars-Uranus archetype, which is defiance in the face of sudden violence. Astrologically, Mars conjunct Uranus at the top of Trump's chart directly showed his public image and career being directly tied to the shocking event. The conjunction squared his natal Mars and Leo, showing how his aggressive and combative nature was both tested and displayed on the world stage. And then obviously, this assassination attempt shifted the course of the election dramatically. And with Uranus having started its retrograde on September 1st in Taurus, we can expect more surprises and disruptions and unexpected turns as the retrograde period unfolds. This summer's astrology wasn't just about sudden events, but also about the deeper, longer lasting changes that these events trigger. J.D. Vance was announced as Trump's running mate at the Republican National Convention soon after that, showing this new phase in Trump's campaign, right? Meanwhile, the political field started to rearrange itself in ways that felt almost fated. On the Democratic side, Kamala Harris unexpectedly stepped into the race after Joe Biden was knocked out by a second Capricorn full moon conjunct Pluto. Pluto's symbolism of death, rebirth, and transformation was very strong as our nation prepared for a new chapter, one led by Kamala. But the thing is, and I've talked about this on TikTok when it was happening, I think it's like a 6-minute video, but Biden's exit, while shocking to some people, was astrologically foreseeable. The Mars-Uranus conjunction happened in his sixth house of health, okay, and work and service, directly opposing his 12th house stellium. So in short, the opposition reflected a crisis, one that challenged his ability to continue in his role. And with Pluto involved in the full moon, it was clear that Biden's time in power was coming to a close. And then the surprises didn't just stop with that, right? On July 19th, the world witnessed a massive global IT outage led by CrowdStrike and Microsoft server failure, something like that. The astrology behind this event was fascinating to me because if you look up the Microsoft IPO chart, it actually shows a natal Mars-Uranus conjunction in the house of open enemies. At the time of that outage, transiting Saturn was conjunct Microsoft's natal sun in Pisces, and it was forming a square to the Mars-Uranus conjunction. Then the DNC kicked off on August 19th, coinciding with a full moon in Aquarius. This full moon occurred at 26 degrees of Aquarius, conjunct the US natal moon at 26 degrees of Aquarius. I talked about that on the pod as well, because it just created a moment of amazing emotional intensity for the nation. The moon in mundane astrology is the public, and the full moon's activation of this degree brought forward collective feelings of hope and also uncertainty and emotional release. The convention under this full moon was a turning point for the Democratic Party, especially with Kamala Harris now at the helm. Our country really watched as the emotional energy of this full moon reflected the anxieties and aspirations of our country. I would say that in the midst of these transits, we're reminded that astrology often mirrors the twists and turns of our history, because the Mars-Uranus conjunction not only sparked a violent event that nearly changed the course of the election, but it also catalyzed a series of movements or changes in leadership, alliances, and the political structure itself. Now, as I get into the election itself, I will say that the timing of the election is full of tension and complexity. One of the most crucial factors to consider is the timing of Mars stationing retrograde in Leo on December 6, 2024, just after the election results are in. And it's important because Mars will stay retrograde until February 2025, moving in between Leo and Cancer. And Mars retrogrades tend to delay action. It disrupts normal flows of energy and just has this energy of frustration. So the fact that this retrograde lasts well into the inauguration period tells me that there could very well be big disruptions or delays in terms of the votes, in terms of the polls during that very highly sensitive time. Mars's retrograde is not only a general omen of agitation, I think, for that time, but is also uniquely impactful for the natal chart of the United States, which has both its Mercury and its Sun in Cancer, right? July 4th, that's the birthday of the US, it's a Cancer. Mars in retrograde forms important aspects to these key national placements, which historically correlate with communication breakdowns and misinformation and heated disputes. Mercury, as a planet that rules messages and elections, actually, and outcomes, being triggered by a retrograde Mars might hint at contested results or an unclear conclusion to the election. The Sun in Cancer, which is literally the heart of the United States' identity, also just seems difficult, you know, raising the possibility of political tension on both sides of the aisle. Let me be clear, Mars by its very nature is the planet of war and conflict and aggression. So while it's retrograde, it acts in unpredictable ways. The conjunction of Mars's retrograde phase with the election and inauguration could manifest as heightened anger from different groups of people, particularly if the results are contested or delayed. It's as if the country will be asked to relive the confrontational spirit of previous times, with Mars's retrograde stirring up collective discontent in ways that just go beyond partisan lines. I really don't think that Mars's retrograde's impact on this election can be understated at all. In astrology, Mars is not only the planet of war, but also rules over cuts and divisions and ruptures in the fabric of society. So as it retrogrades from Leo into Cancer, there probably will be political fragmentation of some sort, both within the general population and among political figures. The election's aftermath might involve not just delays, but also a deepening of ideological divides, with tensions just bubbling up well into the inauguration period. Astrologically speaking, eclipses as well often mark critical points in an election year. Historically, the candidate with eclipses touching key parts of their chart, especially the ascendant or midheaven usually, has typically emerged victorious. They usually win. For example, in 2020, Joe Biden's Sagittarius ascendant was activated by eclipses in Sagittarius, while in 2016, Donald Trump's Leo ascendant experienced activation just after the inauguration. And this historical pattern of eclipse alignments with ascendants or midheavens reveals a deeply rooted celestial rhythm in political ascension, as we've seen time and time again. Looking ahead to 2024, we are entering a Pisces Virgo eclipse cycle, which begins on September 17th, 2024, with the lunar eclipse in Pisces. These eclipses will continue throughout 2025 and 2026, heavily influencing charts that feature Pisces and Virgo placements. Kamala Harris has a Gemini ascendant and a Pisces midheaven, which places her at the center of this eclipse cycle. Eclipses over someone's midheaven often show pivotal shifts in public status or career or someone's role in society. And given Harris's prominence in the activation of her midheaven by this eclipse series, that tells me that there's a strong astrological reasoning to think that her public profile is going to be transformed potentially through this election. On the other hand, Donald Trump's chart lacks the same kind of eclipse activation. His Leo ascendant and Taurus midheaven do not intersect with the 2024 eclipses series, meaning that he might not experience the same celestial boost that helped him in previous elections. This absence of significant eclipse activity in his chart could imply a reduced likelihood of success compared to Kamala Harris, whose midheaven is powerfully activated. And while this doesn't actually guarantee victory, obviously, it definitely is an astrological pattern worth noting, especially when you see it through a traditional lens of patterns that have happened with other presidential candidates. So there's a clear pattern here where Kamala Harris has a Gemini ascendant and a Pisces midheaven, and in astrology, the midheaven represents someone's public life and career and reputation. And guess what? The upcoming eclipses of 2024 and 2025 and 2026 fall across the Pisces Virgo axis, directly activating her midheaven, activating her career and public life. Historically, eclipses have played such important roles in determining the fortunes and outcomes of political figures. There are clear patterns that span decades of presidential candidates winning elections and them all having eclipses in the sign of either their midheaven or rising sign. It's crazy. It's literally crazy, but astrology does not lie. Example, looking back through recent US elections in 2020, Joe Biden's Sagittarius ascendant was activated by the Sagittarius eclipses happening, aligning perfectly with his win. In 2016, Donald Trump's Leo ascendant was triggered by a series of Leo eclipses starting shortly after his inauguration. The eclipses in Aquarius during Barack Obama's elections in 2012 and 2008 aligned with his Aquarius ascendant. He also has a Scorpio midheaven, and in 2012, we had an eclipse in Scorpio, just really cementing this connection between eclipses and election victories. I could actually keep going. I could go down to Bush and Clinton and the other Bush. It all adds up. Seriously, it really does. Go check it out. And the upcoming Pisces eclipses activate Kamala Harris's midheaven. It tells me that she is going to experience a significant boost in her public career. On the other hand, Donald Trump's chart lacks that powerful eclipse activation, at least in 2024. His Leo ascendant and Taurus midheaven are unaffected by the current eclipse cycles, which weakens his astrological positioning in this election. Because truly in astrology, the ascendant and midheaven are crucial indicators of someone's path in life and public achievement. And the absence of eclipse activity in these key areas of Trump's chart just tells me that he does not have the same cosmic momentum, I guess, behind him that he did in 2016. If anything, those eclipses are going to be, the Pisces eclipses, they're going to be happening in his eighth house of death, and I guess rebirth, but that is not a good sign. For him, it's going to be ending a chapter. It's going to be a closing. It's going to be a death. Eclipses are known for their unpredictable nature, and with the Pisces Virgo eclipse series underway, the energy is fluid and mutable. It points to changes that may not be fully revealed until well after election day. The mutable quality of these signs could mean that the outcome may remain in flux, with developments continuing to unfold even as Mars's retrograde stalls progress and clarity. Eclipses bring endings and new beginnings. And with Harris's midheaven so heavily activated, this could really just mean a dramatic change in US politics. In terms of the candidates, though, I'm strongly in belief that Kamala Harris will win this election. There are so many indicators of this astrologically that I broke down in like a 6-minute video on TikTok, so I'm not going to go too deep into her personal chart or that of Trump's in that way, just because it would be very wordy. But there are some things I want to point out. Number one is Saturn and Pluto. Saturn-Pluto transits for Kamala have coincided with key moments in her career. Pretty much every time she's leveled up in her career, Saturn and Pluto were involved. I dug deep for this. Natally, she has her Sun conjunct her midheaven, a placement that brings a very slow and steady career extension, but only through hard work and discipline. And Saturn loves to reward, right? Saturn and Pluto played crucial roles in her career advancement during her win for San Francisco DA for district attorney, as well as into the role of senator, and then again when she became vice president. And all that to say that Saturn and Pluto are making an opposition for her right now, just adding to that cycle. And also, just to go back to the Mars retrograde through Leo and Cancer during this time, because I think it's just so important. Leo is the sign of leadership and kings, and it's where Mars begins its retrograde, highlighting the political leaders and their struggles. But as Mars moves into Cancer, the sign of the homeland and the past, the focus shifts to national identity and security and the emotional energy shaping the electorate's mood. Mars in Cancer is a very challenging placement because it's weakened. So I think the nation, the country, the US, right, is going to feel very vulnerable, very divided and emotionally charged with lots of anger just simmering beneath the surface. And so when you put these two together, this Mars retrograde period and the eclipse energy, it sets the stage for a contentious and unpredictable election. It is not just about who wins, but how the election unfolds, the collective response to the results, and the long-term impact on the country. The emotional stakes are high, and with Cancer being a key sign in the United States' chart, this retrograde will stir up deep-seated issues around identity and security and what it means to belong to the United States of America. I feel like I need to play the squawking noise. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? God bless our troops and God bless America. Does anybody else know that? Let me bring it up.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops, God bless America, and gentlemen, start your...
Anyway, as for the overall astrology of Election Day itself, it's terrible. We are under the influence of a Mars-Pluto opposition on November 5th, 2024, Election Day. Very powerful, but equally as dangerous. Mars and Pluto, when opposed, represents a battle of wills, a struggle for control that can turn fierce and even violent. The energy of that kind of alignment mirrors larger geopolitical struggles. Particularly what I'm thinking about is like the ongoing tensions between Russia and Ukraine. This opposition is a reflection of the biggest power issues. And with Mars in Leo and Pluto in the rebellious Aquarius, it's dramatic and it's going to be shocking events. What happens leading up to and immediately following the election could bring a sense of instability or even outright conflict, both in terms of the election and the broader global stage. So as you all synthesize all these astrological pieces that I dropped, which was really just a sliver, once again, I think for an audio podcast format, getting into so many specifics of the candidates, including Vance and Walsh, just would have been very wordy. But I do talk about it on the Topaz TikTok and Instagram. But my point is that this is not just any election. The cosmic forces at play, particularly Mars retrograde, Pluto in Aquarius, and the Uranus-Gemini cycle, all point to a transformative and highly charged period in the US history. It's as if the country is moving through a portal where foundational shifts are inevitable. And in a moment like this, we have to consider how these planetary energies not only influence the candidates and the election itself, but also reflect the deeper shifts within American society as a whole. We are standing on the brink of a time centered around rethinking, restructuring, and potentially radical change in leadership and direction and the collective sense of national identity. Okay? So just think about that. Because with that being said, that concludes this week's episode of Witch Talk. Vote, 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 vote. Please vote. Please, I beg you, please vote. So much is at stake here. And as always, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. Join me next week as we continue our journey through the cosmos. And until then, keep slaying and stay witchy. Bye!